man they're crucifying. Well, he says he is a king, but judging from the clothes he wears, he doesn't own a thing. Little did they know that day, as his blood came streaming down, he owned the sun, the stars, the moon, he even owned the ground. He left it all to rescue me. He left it. Not his robe, not his crown, not 10,000 bowing down, not one piece of jasper wall, he left it all.
That amazing, amen. Wasn't that just beautiful? Wow, I tell you, you know, how many of you have ever listened to a CD and liked a song and hit replay? Anybody ever done that before? How about you listen to it two times and hit it again? Listen to it three times and listen to it again. I'm like almost ready to push the button here. That was a beautiful song. I tell you, you know, really, I think it just prepared us. They just sang it the first time to prepare us to hear it the second time. Amen. We just hit the button, girls. Come on up here and sing it again. Amen. Man, I tell you, that just blessed my heart. Man, that just was, just think about that song. He left it all. I tell you, that'd make a backslidden Presbyterian shout right there. Amen.
He didn't bring an army to help him on his way. He didn't bring an angel to praise him night and day. He didn't bring one piece of gold to buy some food to eat. Instead, he turned and laid it all at his Father's feet. He left it all to rescue me. He left it all to die on Calvary. This man they're crucifying, well, he says he is a king, but judging from the clothes he wears, he doesn't own a thing. Little did they know that day, as the blood came streaming down, he owned the sun, the stars, the moon, even all. bring, not his robe, not his crown, not 10,000 bowing down, not one piece of jasper wall, he left it all. Not his robe, not his crown, not 10,000 bowing down, not one piece of jasper wall, he left it all.
Thank you, ladies. Man, praise the Lord. Good night. Well, I don't even want to say nothing about the table. Just see me after the service. Let's look over to Revelation chapter 19. All right, Revelation chapter 19. And I want to begin reading to you from verse number 11. Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's what I want to preach on tonight. His name is called the Word of God. Verse number 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and of their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we come to you, Lord, tonight so thankful and grateful for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the song that we heard. How wonderful to know you, to know that we've been saved, to know that we're on the winning side. Thank you, dear God, for the promises of Scripture. We pray now that you'll bless this Sunday night service tonight. Speak and help us, Lord. Strengthen us for the days ahead. We love you. Show us how to love you more. We pray that you'd be honored and pleased at our response to the truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thanks so much for standing with me. The dramatic passage of Scripture describes one of the most earth-shattering events the world will ever experience. To God's people, we know it as the second coming of Christ. And friend, it is truly the theme of the Bible. The New Testament has 260 chapters, and Christ's return is mentioned no less than 318 times. Make no mistake about it, the Lord Jesus Christ will come back again. He will. And God has given us very specific instructions on what He wants us to do while we wait for His glorious appearing upon this earth. Amen. At this time that we're reading here in Revelation chapter 19, this time, the second coming, at this time of His second coming, the dead in Christ have been already raised to receive their glorified bodies. At the time we're reading right here, the living saints of the church age have already been caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the sun has risen to set in motion what we know in Scripture as the day of the Lord. It's not a time period like 24-hour days, but it is a period of time in which the Lord is going to pour His wrath upon the nations of the world. The Bible says in Isaiah 34, verse 8, it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And when you see the word Zion mentioned, as in this verse, it's directly speaking of Israel, of Jerusalem. And right now, in our world today, 2014, Jerusalem right now is at the very center of the controversy. The world during the time of the tribulation will be introduced to the devil incarnate, the Antichrist. He will be the ruler of the world during a time period known as the tribulation period, and then the last 2.5 years, the great tribulation period. During this time, God is going to bring Israel to a place of repentance. Now, praise God that the church has already been delivered from the tribulation. Amen. The Bible says, God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our God. Amen. We have been delivered. So finally, the secularist and the socialist and the communist and the atheist and the humanist and the globalist and the universalist will finally reach their dream utopia, a world with no Christians. That's what they want. That's what they want now. Praise God, one of these days, all these isms and schisms are going to be wasms. Glory to God. Amen, amen. You see, the child of God, the church, as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, is gone. True believers, as the light of the world, have been called home. Amen. The restraining influence of the church has been removed from society. But always remember, God gives Israel divine protection during the midst of tribulation. You take the example of the ark, Noah and the ark. God protected Noah and his children and their wives and all the animals in the ark in the midst of tribulation. It is a type of Israel. God gives them protection during the midst of judgment. Remember, Enoch was taken before. Amen. He is a picture of the New Testament church taken out, and they will not experience the wrath of God like the world will on this earth here. During this time, the world will rock and reel and moan and groan and twist and turn as God pours His unrestrained wrath upon the masses. As we read the book of Revelation, we know that there's going to be war and famine and death. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2 through 8 prophesies that a massive multitude of mankind will die because of the magnitude of God's judgment upon the earth. The Bible tells us in Revelation 6:8 that Satan, the devil, will have the power to kill 1/4 of the earth's population. During this time, the armies of the world will come against Christ, Revelation 19:19. But the Bible says He is going to defeat them, and it appears that we will have the privilege to be with Him when all of this materializes. Boy, it's good to be on the winning side. Amen. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, He cometh with clouds." Amen. And in Hebrews 12, in verse number 1, it speaks of a cloud of witnesses. "Behold, He cometh with clouds." It could represent the cloud of witnesses, believers that are going to come back with Jesus when He comes. "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him." Every eye. You see, there was a time when the liberals and modernists, they would scoff and laugh at the Bible. They would say, "How can every eye see Jesus?" But you see, we are living in a time where we have progressive illumination. We know now. We live in the technological world. We know that it is literally possible, because of cellular technology, that every single eyeball on the face of the earth
has the potential to see Jesus when He comes back again. Amen. Oh, my friend, let the modernists and liberals laugh, but I promise you we're going to get the last laugh. Amen. Every eye shall see Him, is what the Bible says. And they also which pierced Him, that's in reference to the Jews. And all the kindred of the earth shall wail, that means to weep loudly, violent lamentation, because of Him. Even so, amen. You see, the second advent, the second coming of Christ, will be one of the most dramatic fulfillments of prophecy to behold. And I promise you, friend, you do not want to be on the wrong side. Amen. And any nation, any government, any society that is against the nation of Israel is on the wrong side. Amen. Oh, you must understand that. The Bible says in Romans 11, verse 26 and 27, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Oh, but now, this passage, now we come to verse number 11, brings me to my text passage. Look at it once again, Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "And I saw heaven opened." Now, up to this time, only a door has been opened in Revelation chapter number 4. You see, the revelation of Jesus Christ allowed John, and praise God, it allows us to see heaven opened. Four times in the Bible, four times we read in the New Testament, we read about heaven being opened. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, at the baptism of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse number 56, at the homegoing of Stephen. Remember when they stoned Stephen to death, the Bible says he looked up to heaven and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. There's some things that Jesus just don't take sitting down. Amen. And that's when His children come home. Amen. He saw Him standing on the right hand of the Father. And then right here in Revelation chapter number 19. All of these references are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Two of them are past. The other two are yet to come. As far as I can see here in Revelation chapter number 19, there is a whole lot of worship going on. Amen. There's a whole lot of shouting. There's a whole lot of singing. There's a whole lot of praise God going on. Look at it in verse number 5. Revelation 19. "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." In verse number 7 He says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Look at verse 10. "And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Oh, I'm talking about there's a lot of praise God going on. There's a lot of shouting and there's a lot of singing. And brother, it must be loud because there's a lot of people doing it. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. The heavens are going to burst asunder as the rider of the white horse makes His grand appearance. The name written on His thigh is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, you see, my friend, His second coming is not a helpless baby in a manger. A lot of times people want to get all stirred and emotional about a little baby in a manger. And I don't have a problem reveling in the doctrines that surround the Christmas story. There's a wonderful thing there. I'm going to get all emotional about a little baby in a manger. But my friend, when Jesus comes back, He's not a baby in a manger. He's not a baby anymore. Amen. When He comes back the second time, brother, He's riding a white stallion. And He has come to overthrow the devil and all that he stands for. And to establish His own literal kingdom promised to Him of His Father. This particular time, He's not on a humble donkey. as prophesied in Zechariah 9:9, and fulfilled to the absolute letter of the law in Matthew 21, at this particular time, he is on a great white stallion, and he is armed with the power of his word and the word of his power. History, the history of world wars, bears out the greed and self-interest of power-hungry governmental leaders. If you study the pages of history, there have been a lot of men and particular families that have made a lot of money on wars. That's just the raw facts of it. They make unbelievable wealth on wars. But this one here that we're reading about here in Matthew 19, he's called faithful and true. And he marches to the beat of a different drum. The Bible says, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That's my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The crowned one with eyes as a flame of fire is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. But this blood is not his own blood. This blood here is the blood of his enemies. You see, the first time Jesus came, he came as a Savior. Luke chapter 2:11, the Bible says, talks about Jesus coming as a Savior, amen, and to shed his blood to redeem us to God. But on his second coming, he's bloody, but not his own blood. He's bloody due to the fact of the crushing power of his holy presence as he comes to this earth and the dividing, piercing of his words. Amen. So, friend, if you're not saved, I'm telling you, now's the time to get saved. Amen. If you've never repented, now's your time to repent. Now's your time to turn to God. The Bible says in Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorant God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof hath he given assurance unto all men? In other words, he's saying, how are you going to know what man it is? How are you going to know what man it is in that he hath raised him from the dead? The witness to the world is that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. That's how we're going to know that it's him that's coming. The Scriptures now provoke us with a very, very mysterious name, a name. The crowned one with the eyes as flame of fire, the one that's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. The Bible says he's given a name, an intriguing name only known to himself alone. I was drawn to that. Look at it. Verse number 12, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. As I was studying for this particular passage of Scripture here, I came across the writings of Dr. Oliver B. Green, and I want to quote to you from his commentary on the book of Revelation. When we read about this, in his name, he knew a name that only was known by him, by himself, and our natural action is, well, why? Why? Well, this is what Dr. Green said, and I'm quoting, "There are divine names such as God and Jehovah and Christ and Jesus, Lord, Savior, which express the relationship between Jehovah God and His creatures. But here is a name not revealed to man, Christ the Son, in the fullness of His divine nature and eternal existence, can alone be known by the Father. Christ has been forever, He was and ever will be. There is no name to express such eternal existence, past, present, and future. Christ alone can understand the fullness of whom and what He was in the eternity behind us, of what He is in the present, and of what He will be throughout the eternity ahead of us. The finite mind cannot comprehend the fullness of the eternal Godhead." Unquote. How amazing. We'll never know this name, but thank God I know Him as my mediator, because I needed someone to stand between me and the holy God. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, I stood in need of someone to bridge the gap. Here Oliver Areza is, sinful and wretched and vile and unable to go to God. God holy, righteous, absolute rectitude. And I need someone to bridge the gap. And thank God Jesus was my mediator. Oh, I'll never know Him by this name here in Revelation 19. But thank God I know Him as my Redeemer. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." There we are standing on the auction block of sin, worthless in the eyes of men. But thank God somebody came down to redeem us, to buy us back. Amen. With His precious blood. I'll never know Him by this name, mysterious name in Revelation 19. But thank God I know Him as my Savior. The Bible says in 1 John 4:14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Amen. Here we are, lost in our sin, on our way to hell, unable to save ourselves. Oh, we'd like to trust in works, good deeds, all of those things, are the relationship that our parents have with the Lord and all those things. But we're all sinners, sinking deep, deep down into the lake of fire someday. And praise God, we had somebody to rescue us, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Oh, I'll never know Him by this name, this mysterious name in Revelation 19. But thank God I know Him as my Advocate. The Bible says in 1 John 2 and verse number 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not." So He says to us, don't sin. Don't sin. That's what He says, that you sin not. Don't sin. But then He says, "And if any man sin," kind of like, don't do it. But when you do, we have an Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Well, I'll never know Him by this mysterious name and here in Revelation 19, but I know Him as my Mediator, and I know Him as my Redeemer, and I know Him as my Savior, and I know Him as my Advocate, and I know Him as my the one that makes intercession for me. He's interceding for me. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost." You know what it means to be saved to the uttermost? It means to be saved to your safe in glory. That's the uttermost. "Wherefore He is able also to save us to the uttermost." Then He says to them, He says that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. Oh, praise God, He's the one that sticketh closer than a brother. One particular night, it was a stormy night, and a mother was taking advantage of her children. It was summer, and early evening, a storm had come in, and all the kids were in the house, and she was kind of taking advantage and going to turn it into a help clean the house up night. And it was stormy outside, lightning and thundering, but she was getting a lot of work done. And she said to one of her little daughters, she said, "Sweetheart, I need you to go out on the back porch and get me the mop." And the little girl looked up at her mother, I mean in fear, kind of like, "I can't believe you're going to send me on the back porch, as horrible as it is outside, to get a mop." And her mother said, "Oh, sweetheart, you don't have to be afraid." She said, "Jesus is with you." And the little girl looked up and said, "But Mama, I want somebody with skin on them." Amen. And you know what? That's the way we all are. We needed somebody with skin on them. And God sent His Son, God in the flesh, wrapped in human flesh, the one that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen? Oh, we'll never know Him by this mysterious name here. But thank God He is the one that is ever interceding on my behalf. When I don't even know how to pray, thank God the Holy Ghost can put it in me. And all I can do is just moan and groan and weep and cry. Thank God we have somebody that interprets that for us. Amen. With groanings which cannot be uttered. But right here in Revelation chapter number 19, He is called the Word of God. of the 8 sacred writers that God used to give us the words of the New Testament, John is the only one of the 8 who applies this title to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 1:1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Bible says in 1 John 5:7, "There are 3 that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost." And isn't it amazing in all of your modern translations, that's one of the verses that they attack. That's one of the verses that has been omitted. Not necessarily from their Bibles, but from the manuscripts that they were translated from. Why would anybody want to mess with that? What's the problem with that? Oh, I'm telling you, listen, thank God Jesus is the Word of God. I want you to see, first of all, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ abiding in His title as the Word of God spoke all things into existence out of nothing. The Bible says in John 1:3, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Oh, I guarantee in a crowd like I'm speaking to tonight, there's some folks here that got some real serious problems. I understand. Listen, you may not even understand. You're wondering, how are you going to make it for the rest of the week? How are you going to do it? But may I remind you to keep your eyes on the One that knows the beginning from the end. If the Lord God Jesus can speak something out of nothing, I guarantee you He can take care of our problems. Jesus, abiding in His title as the Word of God, spoke all things into existence out of nothing. I want you to see, secondly, Jesus, abiding in His title as the Word of God, spoke for the redeemed in the covenant and counsel of grace before the world had ever begun. Notice these words here in John chapter 17 and verse number 20. Boy, they always bless my heart. The Bible says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." Amen. I believe that Oliver Areza was in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ when He gave those words. He says, "Neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me." Amen. He knew there would be a 15-year-old teenage boy from Texas that would be convicted about his sin and call upon Jesus to save his never-dying soul. And praise God, Jesus spoke for the redeemed. He said that they may all be one as Thou art, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they also may be in one in us, that the world may know, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. You see, based on the wonderful foreknowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, He knew that I would be saved on that day. I want you to see, number 3, Jesus, abiding in His title as the Word of God, spoke for us, agreeing to do His Father's will for the accomplishment of our redemption and our salvation. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, says, "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of Me to do Thy will, O God." Above, when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin Thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, "Lo, I come to do Thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see, it was more than just Jesus willing to do it and able to do it. He had to have all the credentials, and He met it all. The Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in His title as the Word of God, is the revelation of God's being. He and only He can interpret the Father's mind to us. John 1:18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared him. I read a story one day. It was a stormy night. A farmer, it was a bush right beside his barn. A bunch of little birds had gathered in that bush trying to find a safe place from the storm. And man, the chatter was going on. And he was just opening up the barn doors hoping that the little birds would fly into that barn and be protected. It'd be easier for them to fly out, you know, all the places where they could come and go in this barn. But they just stayed there. And he said, you know, I guess the only way I could let these birds know is if I could just become a bird. And my friend, God let us know by becoming a man. And only Jesus can interpret the Father's mind to us. It's not possible for man to know God except in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, number four, that the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in His title as the Word of God, in Revelation 19:13, in a very unusual way, fulfills Psalm 138, verse 2. And let me read it to you. I will worship toward Thy holy temple, and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above Thy name. Jesus is the Word of God. Do you know, friend, that everything that's said about the Bible can be applied to Christ? And every single thing that can be applied, that's said about Christ can be applied to the Word of God? He is the Word of God. The Bible is called the bread, and Jesus is called bread. The Bible is called light, and Jesus is called light. On and on it goes. What is said about the Bible can be said about Christ. What's said about Christ can be said about the Bible. And His name is called the Word of God. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross? The thieves were hanging beside Him on the right and left. Remember, Jesus was crucified on the day that Passover was to occur. Passover never has been a series of days. The Passover is on the 14th day of Abib from sunset to complete darkness. It's 30 minutes. When the sun sets, it's 30 minutes till it becomes dark. It doesn't get dark when the sun reaches the horizon. It gets dark 30 minutes after that. And God told Moses to do the Passover on the evening of sunset, when the sun sets to complete darkness. And remember, Jesus was crucified on the day that Passover was to occur. And they didn't want those bodies to be hanging there for the Passover. So what did they do? The Roman soldier came over and he looked at one of the thieves. And he was still alive. You remember that? Now, we don't know this for sure, but you read history and the works of Josephus and men like that, and you can find these ideas. Probably this was customary for the Romans. They would take a Roman battle axe when they wanted these criminals on the cross to die. The death of the cross was really a cruel, cruel form of suffocation. And they would take that Roman battle axe and they would chop their legs. You could hear those bones shatter. And then they would fall down because they couldn't push up. And they would suffocate. They'd die. They came to the first Roman soldier, looked at him, and he was alive. And they didn't want his body hanging there because it was Passover. So they took that battle axe, possibly, and chopped his legs. The bones crushed. The blood squirted out. The muscles were severed. And he died. They went over to the next thief. He was alive. They had to do the same thing. Took that Roman battle axe and chop! Bones crushed and popped. Muscles split open. Skin wide open. Blood gushed out. And they dropped and suffocated. And they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, Brother Luke, it was prophesied that not a bone of his body was to be broken. They didn't break his bones. And the Bible says the Word of God cannot be broken. The Word of God. Jesus, the Word of God. You know what that says to me? I want to be on His team. I want to be preaching His gospel. I want to be giving to His cause, to His work. Someday He is coming back. He is coming back. He is. He is. And every eye is going to see Him. And those of us who have put our faith and trust in His redeeming blood, we're going to get to come back with Him. And we're going to see Him defeat Satan and his armies and set up His kingdom on this earth. And what a grand, great day that's going to be. Are you on His side? Are you surrendered to His cause? And His name is called the Word of God. How powerful is that? Let's stand together, shall we? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Think about the song that those girls sang for us. He left it all. Didn't take anything with Him. He left it all to come down here and save us. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. How many tonight say, Brother Oliver, I love the Lord. I love the Lord Jesus tonight because He first loved me. And I know I'm His. And He knows I'm His. Hold your hand up as a testimony. Oh, friend, don't raise your hand if you're not sure. If you're reluctant about it, don't lie about this. The Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Good night. If you couldn't raise your hand in confidence, quit trying to fool yourself. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and put your hands down. Thank you so much. Oh, listen, are you surrendered to His cause, His church, His work, His gospel? Man, is your house full of His name, His praise, His glory, His book, that He might have the preeminence? That's what He wants. That's what He deserves. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this evening how many say, Brother Oliver, pray for me. Well, I just feel in my heart, I just need a revival of love in my heart for my Savior. I just need a love in my heart, just a love in my heart for Jesus. Would you hold your hand up as a testimony? Amen. God bless you good. Amen. I guess that means the rest of you already love Him or you don't want to love Him. I'll let you fill in the blank on that. Boy, we need to love God. We need to love Him. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Tonight, how many say, Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand or I raise it reluctantly? I just need to come to the realization that I just need to be saved. God has been speaking to my heart, and I've been fighting it for a long time, and I need to get saved tonight. Would you raise your hand up right now and let me have a prayer for you? Anybody like that tonight? It's got a burden on my heart for somebody tonight. Got a real burden on my heart. Maybe there's somebody here. Brother Oliver, pray for me. I've been just fighting it. Just fighting it. Anybody like that? Come on. Anybody like that? All right. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe there'd be some here tonight. Say, Brother Oliver, pray for me. I just need to find ways to make more of Jesus. Make more of Jesus in my life. Would you let me pray for anybody like that tonight? Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing on this invitation. The Lord's touched your heart in some way tonight. Maybe you just need to come to this old-fashioned altar and just tell the Lord how much you love Him. Maybe you just need to just kind of rededicate yourself afresh and anew to His cause, His church, His will. Our Father, we love You tonight. Dear God, thank you for your tremendous love for us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Bible. It's so precious to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can put all our faith and trust in it. It meets every single spiritual need that we have. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to examine our hearts. There's so many things in this world that draws us aside. So many things that wants to replace you as the center of our life, on the throne of our heart, with something else. Help us to always be sensitive about it and committed to it. Bless these dear people. Bless this wonderful church. Help us to make much of you. We ask it all in the precious, powerful name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. As the music plays for us and the Lord has touched your heart tonight, in some way you just feel a stirring in your soul. Maybe you just need to tell the Lord that you love Him. Maybe you're here this evening and you need to rededicate your life afresh and anew to God. I hope that you will.